Thank the Lord this morning that He has granted to you and me the right to be His children, the privilege. And we heard, I believe it was Sunday night, what a wonderful calling it is to be God's children. And we never want to take that lightly. And we want to take it with a great honor and a great respect and certainly with humility that God has allowed us to be His saints and allowed us to be His children. I wrote on the board the two words, take heed. And that's what I'd like for us to consider this morning. In the New Testament, the phrase, take heed, is mentioned roughly or very closely to 28 times, depending on how you want to look at it. It's a phrase that evidently has a rather high degree of importance to the Lord. He Himself said it, Jesus did. He had His apostles and the writers of the epistles to use the phrase, take heed, on quite a few occasions. And that places where He mentioned, and we'll touch on some of them today, the places where He mentioned take heed applied to a rather large variety of scenarios of our life. And we'll, like I say, touch on some of those. The phrase take heed that we find in the New Testament comes from, except in one case, and it's in italics in that particular case, I believe, and it was means that take heed was inserted by the translators that was not in the original text. But the phrase take heed comes from, as it's used in the New Testament, comes from three different words from the Greek. And I won't try to pronounce those. But basically the inflection and the indication and the definitions run parallel, and one phrase could be substituted for another without really doing any damage to the Scriptures. And I want to look at that in a minute. When you and me consider that the Christian or the calling of Jesus Christ that we heard about, the Christian life is a busy life. And it was meant to be an occupied and a busy life. Jesus said, occupy till I come. God does not expect us to sit idly by and serve the flesh and serve self, but He expects us to be up and about our Father's business. So the Christian's life is meant to be occupied, meant to be busy. It's meant to be a successful affair. The Lord does not intend for man to backslide nor go to hell. He does not intend for the saints to miss the joys that are in this life and the joys that are in life and life everlasting. For the Christian's life to be successful, we've got to be diligent. And the word successful, you could apply this to business, education, to our families, and certainly to Christianity. To be successful, we've got to be diligent. We've got to be earnest about our calling. We've got to be alert. And we've got to have a focused life. As we bring this little message this morning, these thoughts, I believe, are contained in the phrase, take heed, take heed. I believe the Christian's life is not to be lived in a dream world, but it should be lived with the reality of the consequences of the choices we make. One thing that every one of us need to do, the Bible said, quit ye like men, be strong. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a time for being a child. There's a time perhaps for daydreams. But we are not to live our life in a dream world. But to realize that life is full of choices, and each one of those choices have real consequences to them. I believe we'll find that in the word, take heed. Christian calling, the call to be saints, I believe it's to be a life that is lived aware of duty and responsibility. Make no mistake, when we were called to be God's saints and to be His family, He expected things from us. He expected us to show the world the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He placed upon you and me duty and responsibility. He has expectations for us in the Christian life. And He has a calling for us. This morning, take heed. I don't believe that the Christian life should be one that's governed by chance. Whatever. Remember the song back many years ago? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I don't know that I agree with that entirely, because I think you and me affect consequences too much. And I believe that if we make right choices, godly choices, we can expect to have the consequences that come from that type of life. It's not to be a life governed by, well, what day is it? What am I going to do today? By chance, and, well, but God expects you and me to plan. He gave us a very wonderful organ in the body called the mind, the brain. And by it, we can make decisions. By it, we can make reasoning. By it, we can compare the Word of God to the course of life that's presented to us. And God does not expect you and me to just live by chance. The Christian's life should be governed, I believe, by a great knowledge and a wonderful respect of our Creator. So when He says, take heed, that embraces a lot of thoughts in my mind anyway. If I will now, I'd like to read some of the definitions of the three Greek words that's translated, take heed. Bearing in mind, we're called to be saints. Bearing in mind, everyone here today is called to be a child of God. Every one of us are called that God may bestow a gift on every one of us, beginning with the gift of salvation, but not culminating there, but only beginning there. And God wants to make us warriors for the cross. And God wants to make you and me a light and the salt of the earth. And He wants our life to count for Christ and account for something good. He wants us to overcome the enemy and overcome evil. He wants you and me to go about doing good and have our minds and our affections centered and set on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He wants the children here, and He wants the young people today to become rooted and grounded in Christ. He does not want the children here today and the young people here today to suffer the consequences of rebelling against the parents and rebelling against authority and rebelling against God and going out and living haphazardly and then hoping someday there may be a reconciliation. God wants every one of us today to be rooted and grounded in the truth of His Word and of His Spirit. Therefore, often the Bible says, take heed. Again, I am combining these three definitions because they're very close, and yet each definition could be taken a little different way. To take heed, it means to pay attention, to be cautious about, to apply oneself to, adhere to, beware, and have a regard for it. It means to turn one's mind to. Lord, help us today that we center ourselves on being as effective Christian as we possibly can be. To be absolutely all that we can be for Christ. To be thoroughly occupied and not led away. To attend to oneself. To apply oneself to something or to. Interesting definition. To be addicted to. To be addicted to. It also means properly to stare. Take heed. Stare. You remember the scripture that says, look into Jesus. Look into Jesus. Or it also means with stare, it means to discern clearly. Blindness is not a convenient situation for humans. Spiritual blindness is a deadly situation for the soul of man. It means to see with the eyes, to see with the mind, to perceive, to know. It means to see, to become acquainted with by experience. It's to discover by use, to know by experience. God wants us to have an experience with Him. Born again, washed in the blood, a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And God wants us to take heed that we understand that and we take advantage of it. To take heed, the phrase does mean to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing. To consider, to contemplate, to look at, to weigh carefully, to examine. As you read those, or hear me read those definitions, and there were some others, it puts to me a considerable amount of weight on something the Lord and the apostles wrote. Take heed. Take heed. That you and me not take those words as something that's without consequence, but that we understand in taking heed there's great benefits. To examine, to study, to look upon, to consider, to weigh out, to apply our mind to something, there's considerable blessings in the consequences of that. To forego the taking heed to life and spiritual things and the call of God is a foolish way to live. It's a dangerous way to live. And many men have fallen from the precipice down into the abyss of eternal damnation because they fail to take heed. How many marriages have, as the saying goes, become on the rocks because couples fail to take heed to one another, to their responsibilities, to love and to care for? The failure to take heed to one's job has caused many people to be unemployed, to miss a promotion, to get argumentative and want to blame someone else for their problem. To take heed to life and the calling of Christ, to take heed to the Word, to the instructions of life, I don't believe can be overly emphasized in the seriousness that the Word denotes. Take heed. Take heed. There's something about us, I believe, as people. The easier things are, the more difficult it is to take heed. Now, granted, people have always failed to take heed down through life. I believe we're good people here today. I believe we're honest people here today. And I truly believe most, and I hope all, are Christians here today. I believe that most of us have life probably less than hard. I mean, we've got our burdens. But let's face it. Compared to some other places in the world and other eras of time. It's not that bad. I wonder sometimes, as Christians, do we need to hear the message? Better take heed. Better watch out. Better be careful. I wonder, as Christians, called to be saints, is the message, examine it closely. Is that relevant today? Be careful what you hear, little ears, and see, little eyes, and mouth what you say, and hands what you touch, and feet where you go. Is that little children's song relevant today? Surely is a lot of things in life that present itself to us. So as Christians, I believe this is a timely phrase. Take heed. I want to begin with scriptures in 2 John, the 8th verse. 2nd Epistle of John, the 8th verse. And I believe this is where it begins. He said, look to yourselves. Now, the same word, or one of those three words that's used to translate into take heed, is translated right here to look. To take heed or look to yourself. I want to encourage us this morning. So easy for you, and certainly easy for me, to look other places. To take the responsibility and place it in other venues, other people. But our primary duty as Christians and as mankind is to be aware of ourselves. To be conscious of our own self. Our own condition. Our own mind. To be aware of our own personality. To weigh it heavily and carefully and consider it with all the due respect it needs, because who I am is who is going to face God. Who you are and who I am is going to be the person that either lives for God or does not, accepts or rejects, enters in as sheep or is expelled as a goat. It behooves you and me, before I look anywhere else, to look to myself, take heed to myself, weigh myself against the Holy Scriptures, compare myself to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, weigh myself, examine myself, cross-examine myself by the truth of God's Word. God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Since He is, take advantage of that. Try me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way. Examine me thoroughly, O God, and make me be very conscious of what you find and what you have to say. If it's left up to me, I'm going to be charitable on myself. And you will too. Lord, help us today to ask the Lord to try us. He is a discerner, as I said, the Bible said, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Don't run from that. That's an asset. That's a benefit. That's a blessing in the kingdom. The fact that God knows you and understands you and weighs your thoughts and your intentions. Take advantage of that. Correct me, O Lord, if necessary. Chasten me, Lord, but in mercy. Help me to understand who I am and what I'm doing to myself or for myself. When the Bible speaks about take heed to ourself or look to ourself, I believe God truly understands that no one else can effectively do that for me. Sometimes ministers, and if I'm wrong, then I stand corrected. Sometimes we ministers, I know we're shepherds, etc. Sometimes I think ministers can think that it's our job to effectively help people look at themselves. And I'll leave that with you. The preaching is to do that. The counsel of the Word and God's saints, they are to do that. But I'm convinced the primary and the truly effectual way to bring about a change to the good in a person's life is for the individual themselves to look to themselves and take heed to their own doings. To work the effect that change would need to work in a person's life, I really don't see it coming from another individual per se. The idea might be raised up, but it's when an individual begins to look and take heed to themselves, to weigh it, examine it, look at the duties and the responsibilities of life compared to the way they're living, to the way they're acting. As a husband and a wife, how many people down through the time has gone to counselors? When the real answer is for the individual to look at themselves as compared to their duty and their responsibility and govern themselves that way. If we are governed by the duties and the responsibilities prescribed in God's Word, we'll do well. And we will not have to have a myriad of counselors. So look to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Examine yourself. Ask God to examine ourselves. Over in 2 Peter, we find the words, take heed. 2 Peter 1 and 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. I would think that would be the life of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament dispensation. Whereunto we do well, or ye do well, that you take heed. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to do well for myself, don't you? Do you want to do well for yourself and your family and those that God has given you responsibility to and for and over? You want to do well, don't you? You want to do well for your soul? Well, Peter writes and said, you do well to take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your life. Our Lord came as the light of the world. He came in the darkness of the time and in the darkness of sin. He came to you and me when we were in the kingdom of darkness and let His light shine. Peter is writing to us that you and me will do extremely well, that we'll pay heed to that light that shineth from heaven, that we will give a diligence and an earnestness to it, that we'll consider it our lifeline, our hope, and our salvation. That we will not be repelled by the light, but we will be drawn to its life-giving forces. This morning, take heed to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't count it an incidental item on the course of life. Count it as the one necessary thing that you must have to be successful, to accomplish the race of life, to meet the Lord in peace. Pay diligent heed to that light that shineth down into the dark place. That light came as hope and reconciliation. May God help you and me to pay heed to the light and not squint at it, not put on sunshades at it. Don't say, oh, the light hurts my eyes, but see it for what it is, life itself. So, Peter writes to us, you do well. You know, in services, in your private devotions, in the course of life, you do well. What says the Word of God? How did Christ handle life? And how am I handling life? You see, life and learning in part comes by experiences and comparisons. We have the light and then we have ourself. We have the words and the life of Christ, and then we have our words and our life. The Lord would that we take heed to our life as compared to the life of Christ, to the Word of God, and to do well by doing such. Over in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and 16, that light that shined into a dark place, praise God for that. 1 Timothy 4 and 16. Again, the writer here says, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. In 2 Peter 3 and 5, it talks about the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Sometimes the word doctrine has a bad name associated with it. Sometimes people want to do away with doctrine. Sometimes people want to account it as man rule. The doctrines of Jesus Christ are the Spirit of God. They are the eternal words of God. They're forever settled in heaven, and they're not for you and me to be tampered with. The doctrines of the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament as it was then, the New Testament as it is today, we're wise to take heed to the doctrine and to the Scriptures. Don't let the phrase, that's what the church teaches, pacify you or satisfy you. I believe there's a time as children, yes, that's sufficient for the moment. But as you and me grow, take heed to the doctrine. Consider them, weigh them. Let them be light and guidance to you, and know them. Not from a standpoint of this is what the church teaches, but beyond that, know the doctrines from your heart. So the Bible said we do well to take heed. Sometimes we pass off information, and we don't let information just come into our heart and be established there. I believe this is one thing the Bible teaches us. In order to be established, we've got to take heed of ourselves and that which God has so graciously afforded us. Pay attention to it. Absorb it. I believe the Lord expects you and me, if we're going to be rooted and grounded and fit for heaven through Christ, that you and me have to take heed to all that's going on around us and weigh it out and how it compares to the Spirit of God, to our words and to our actions and that which presents itself to us for introduction into our life and to be a governing force in our life. The Lord does not want you and me just to go around and take everything that comes along. He says, take heed to that thing. Weigh it out. Consider it. Lord, help us today to take heed to ourselves in this way also. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. I admire and appreciate, and I know you will and do, longevity in the kingdom of God. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But I hope the day that I die, if I by chance would know it, I would like to be able to say, I've been saved, and name off a rather large number of years. Yes, that's a goal of mine. That's a desire of mine. But that in itself is not what we really want to aim for in that sense. Here's what Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. To me, that's saying to me or you that's saved today, do not think for a moment your longevity is your grace. Do not think a moment that you have heard Brother so-and-so 30 years ago preach, that that's your grace. To be thankful for that and appreciative of that, yes. To enjoy that, yes. But you and me that have been saved a number of years have the same obligation as the newborn babes in Christ. Take heed to ourselves. Take heed to how we live. Take heed to how we think. Take heed to the information that we have access to. Take heed to the doctrines that are floating around through the air of the airways today. We have the same responsibility as that man or woman that has been saved half the time we have. We must take heed to how we're living. We must govern ourselves by the Word of God, just as anyone else. Take heed. Lest, what did he say? You follow. Our surety has to be in Christ. Our surety must be in Him. Our surety cannot be in ourself or our ability to understand Scriptures. Paul said, though I give my body to be burned, though I have all knowledge and all wisdom and understand all things, though I have faith that's able to move mountains, he said, it profits me nothing if I don't have love and charity in Jesus Christ, in other words. Take heed this morning, us that are saved. We need to be careful how we stand. I stand in the grace of God, the love of God, the merits of His blood. And I am what I am by the grace of God. If I have a hope of eternity, it's only His merciful love and kindness to me and His leadership and my obedience to that. It's never in me as a person, as an individual, as the fact that I'm a preacher or you're a Sunday school teacher or a song leader or been saved a long time. Those are good things. But we're saved by grace, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So how do you stand today? How do we stand? Take heed to that. Pay attention to it. Over in Luke, the 11th chapter, one of the worst things that could happen to a person is to believe he's absolutely right and be totally wrong. Do you know the script? You remember the story about those at the judgment? It said, but Lord, haven't we done thus and such in your name? And the Lord said, I never knew you. Going to hell is going to be terrible, period. But what if the day you die, you find out, contrary to your belief and your hope, that you didn't make it? Horrors would be mounted on horrors, in my way of thinking. Listen to what he said here in Luke, the 11th chapter, in the 33rd verse. No man which hath lighted a candle put it under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. There's always been things that we could understand. There's always been information out there. But have we ever seen such a proliferation of information? What does one want to believe? It is already out there. You don't have to go invent it. It's already out there. Jesus said this, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Can you imagine the terror of eternity and facing to know that you believe the wrong thing and you're damned? Did you know God exhorts us very wisely and very seriously right here. Take heed to what you believe. Be very careful to the information you receive. Weigh it judiciously against the Word of God. Consider it above your opinion and what you think and all kind of human reasoning. Place it all under the blood and say, Lord, what do you say? All the places that you've justified in your life, compare it to what the Lord justifies and what the Lord condemns. Be willing to change and take heed to oneself. Take heed to the light that guides you. Is it of Christ? Is it Christ? Or have I found a way that, though it... Think about it, folks. I don't want to be lost in the end and not know it. That'd be terrible. Be bad enough, it'd be horrible to be lost. But to go there believing a lie and thinking it's okay, take heed. Take heed to that light. Human thinking is so fickle and so changeable and so subjective to the flesh, it's unreal. They that are Christ, they that are called to be saints, they that are Christ, have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lust with its affections and lust. You think about that scripture. That has deep meaning. And it's a place that the majority of the world does not want to go. Consequently, because the world doesn't want to go there, the world has invented many alternatives to going there. It's invented many doctrines that placate that area in a person's life that they don't want to crucify. Double marriage, living in sin, just on and on. People have found light, quote unquote, in italics and all that, that says it's okay to have plurality of spouses. And on we could go. Take heed that that light that you have justified yourself with be not darkness. Because he said, how great and terrible is that darkness. In my mind, it can't be overemphasized. Because you see, what I believe becomes who I am. So take heed. Be very careful right here. In Luke 21 and 8, Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. There's so much, as then and now more, teachings in the world. Take heed that you be not deceived. I'm convinced the number one deceiver outside of Satan is our own self. And we need to be careful. Something can sound good to me, and it's a little easier way for the flesh in business, in marriage, in schools, in homes, in the congregations. Call to duty and call to responsibility. I can be deceived with a way that, well, that's not for me. I can say, well, the Lord didn't call me to that. I can deceive myself, you can deceive yourself to shun the responsibilities of being a Christian, of letting your light shine and obtaining the gift and using the gift. You can take your talents through being deceived and literally, spiritually bury that talent and say, well, someone else will do it. I can't do that. I don't know how. There was Peter and the other guys out there fishing. I suppose they were pretty good fishermen, and that's probably all those folks knew. Jesus said, leave your nets, follow me. And I believe in a couple of places it says straightway they did that. Immediately they did it. I wonder sometimes about us as humans, how God has to continually call us. Where is our desire of taking heed to the calling of God and just yielding ourselves? Straightway do it. Faith, belief, trust. Knowing this is the way and saying, Lord, I'm going to try. I'll do it. Lay the nets down. Take the nets that you're holding and put them between you and the Lord and say, Lord, straightway I lay this thing down. Lord, help us to take heed to our duties and our responsibilities. And don't hold up your job and your net and your so-called inadequacies. Moses kind of did that, and the Lord was not happy with Moses at all. May the Lord help us today to abandon excuses and take heed to what we're saying to God, to one who knows everything about us. He knows why I put up an excuse. Sure he does. In his mercy, he comes back and says, Stan, that was an excuse. What if he didn't come back? What if the next time God asked you, called you, burdened you, and you said, well, but Lord, I've got a field to plow. I got these oxen. I just got to go prove them right now. What if God said, fine, goodbye? We presume on God, do we not? Take heed. Are we presuming on God today? Think about it. If you're not saved today, you may have this thought, I'm going to get saved before I die. And you may say the word, well, not today, Lord, not now. Depending on God to come back. What if he didn't? What if he doesn't? Take heed to our excuses, folks. Take heed to what we offer up to God as a reason why I can't. We're going to be judged by them. We're going to have to give an account of every deed done. Over in the 21st chapter of Matthew of Luke, 34 and 35, you can read this if you like, 21, 34, and 35. Again, Jesus says, take heed to who? Yourselves. Then he talks about, if you're not careful, something that's as real as this pulpit is before you today will get you. And it's called the cares of this life. And they have been defined in various ways, and that's not my intentions to define the cares of life. I think it's just a very, very good description of those things that we are responsible for, that we do need to do, and that are part of our responsibilities as adults. But the Lord said, take heed to yourself about those cares of life, because they're going to snare you, or they can snare you. You know, I think about, most of us have seen or the aftermath or seen someone or an animal caught in a snare. Rather unexpected. Wasn't your intentions. Wasn't the animal's intentions. Time I had some cats that were not handled as little kittens and raised in the barn, and therefore they were feral. And they became a nuisance and other reasons, so I took upon myself to ensnare them. And I did it with a trap, a cage trap, and raw bacon. And it worked. And I caught the cats. And when that trap door shut, folks, I've never seen in my life, absolutely never seen anything go, for lack of a better word, berserk and crazy. Literally, blood was flying everywhere. It was their own doing themselves, running into the cage, cutting themselves, tearing themselves. Had no intentions whatsoever of being ensnared. but they were. Lord, help us today. The cares of this life. Put any title you want to on them. If we're not careful, if we don't take heed to ourselves, if we don't place them in their proper position, if we do not give them their proper amount of attention, but if we give them more than their proper, if they become an excuse, if they become a reason why I'm not living for the Lord, why I'm not teaching my children, why I'm not taking a part in a congregation, why I'm not accepting a role as a teacher or a Sunday school teacher, a singer, a prayer, whatever, they become a snare. And the end of that thing is entrapment. And the end of that thing is death. Watch out for the cares of life. Busy. I've said this. This is the third Sunday I've said something like this. Guess God wants us to say it. You're going to always have them. You're going to always have something to do. You're going to always have something that needs mending. You're going to always have something that needs tending to. You're always going to have some cares of life. God stipulates that. He doesn't say we won't, and we're told to be good stewards, and etc. But when it starts usurping authority over the duties and the responsibilities of my Lord, take heed. Because at that point, they become a snare, and they become an excuse. In America, Eastern, the Western world anyway, we're blessed. Opportunity call, coming together for worship service. I'd like to read something that the Hebrew writer wrote in 10. And 22. It goes along with the cares of this life. It goes along with the fact that in reality things are pretty easy for us. There's a blessing in worship together. There's a blessing in meeting and talking about the Lord. There's a blessing in exchanging testimonies and exhortations. There is a blessing in seeing other faithful saints. There is a blessing in singing psalms and spiritual songs, hymns in the Spirit from our heart. There is a blessing to share what God has taught one and for that one to teach and speak it out. There's a blessing in coming together with a singleness of mind, a single purpose to worship the Lord. I want to say this in the fear of the Lord. Take heed. Take heed. May I give you something that I am concerned about. To me, and the burden I have sometimes, we take this time too lightly, as too optional, as something that it's a decision we'll make every Sunday as the day rolls around. I believe Brother Philip, and if I'm misquoting him, I'll just take responsibility for it, said something to this effect, whether we go to service on Sunday morning or not should never be a question. Should never be a question. Our children should never ask, are we going to Sunday school today? Are we going to worship service? I believe that. Like I say, if he didn't say it, I'll say it and take responsibility for it. Take heed. Take heed. Listen to what he said in Hebrews 10 and 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That comes about by coming together. That comes about in association. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't routinely forsake. Now, none of us are so naive to say, there won't be times we have to. That's not even a matter of consideration. Lord, help us today to take heed. Take heed to our devotion, our public devotion. Take heed to our life and to ourselves. Some churches, Baptist Church, I grew up in, had attendance charts and prizes, and you got graded on different things. Bible brought, verse said, offering, attendance, a couple other things. Invite someone else. We don't do that, and I'm not advocating that by any means. But what would be my score, I wonder? What would be your score? Are we taking heed the way God wants us to take heed? Or are we taking heed at our convenience? Brother Clifford Wilson told us one time, wasn't good and polite to mention names over the pulpit. But he said he was going to tell us the person he had absolutely more trouble with than anybody else. He said the man's name is Clifford Wilson. I believe that about Stanley Dixon. I can be so led astray with my way and my thinking. God help me to take heed. He said, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Morning Sunday school lesson in the adult class was about Christ's second coming. As we see events unfold and wonder, is this it? Is this it? The writer of Hebrews seemed to say, as we see the day of God approaching, take heed. Peter talks about there'll be those that says, oh, we've heard that since we were little children. Well, my grandfather said that. Peter also said, better take heed, because the day of the Lord will come. And I don't want to be caught unaware, do you? God help us all. And you know, that's what God wants for all of us. He doesn't want us to be caught unaware. He doesn't want our children caught unaware. He doesn't want me caught unaware. He doesn't want this congregation caught unaware. So therefore, 28 plus times and other words you could use that mean the same thing, he said, take heed. Be careful. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Aware, circumspectly, earnest, sincere, aware, conscious of what's going on. Lord, help us today. Modern inventions are wonderful to a point. When I leave without my cell phone, I get concerned. What if I have a flat tire? What if my wife needs me? What if I need her? Now, we started courting it. I was in my 50s. So, I lived those 50-something years quite well without a cell phone. But you know, it's kind of got to be almost a necessity to us these days. And I'm not downing it, please. I've got one. In fact, it's in my pocket, but it's turned off. There's things that should not be named among us becoming saints. I wonder sometimes if God would say, take heed to text messaging in service. I wonder what kind of respect that shows to God. Just wonder. Take heed to yourself, see the Bible says. The word's going forth, song's going forth. Someone has prepared a lesson. And I'm asking somebody across the country, did you go swimming today? Whatever. Think about it. God wants us to have a solemnity about us when it comes to Him. Take heed to yourself. What is God pleased with? How do I treat people? How do I treat my wife? How do I give diligence and attention to the Word of God? How do I obey a spirit, the Spirit of God? God says, look to yourselves. Be conscious of that. How is it in my coming to service? Is it something that's I come as a contributor or as a taker or as a obligation? I can't answer that for anyone. God wants us to answer that for ourselves. Take heed. Pay attention. The consequences are out of this world, to the good or to the bad. In Ephesians, we've quoted some of that. Let's not be unwise, but let's understand what the will of the Lord is. And I don't know the answers to life's questions like this. I confess I don't. But I've found this. The more I draw close to God, the easier it is for me to take heed. And I think about the scripture over in Romans 12, used a lot of times in a lot of different venues. But it has a certain amount of light in it that kind of gives me an answer to my problem. Whether it's fear, temptation, dread, whatever. And it's basically this. Present yourself a living sacrifice to God. I wonder today if there's some of us that do not just need to but give up. To us that are saints, are there some of us here today that just need to give up? Are there some of us here today that just need to quit our struggling and give up? Present our bodies, our minds, all our faculties, our jobs, our excuses, and present ourselves just to God. And straightway follow Him. You see, the consequences of that is He will lead us to that celestial city that's eternal in the heavens. He'll lead us there. Now, I can try all I want, and I can't do it. This morning, I believe the answer to taking heed is to consider my inabilities, my lack of wisdom, my lack of everything good, and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. I've been lazy, I've been slothful, I've been presumptive. I haven't been as diligent as I should, Lord. I confess that you've tried me and I've been found wanting. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Lord, heaven and eternity and life is too vital for me not to take heed to. And yet, that's exactly what I've been doing. I hadn't been paying attention. So if any of us here today have failed and are failing to take heed, let's come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in our time of need. You pray for me.